I've done a ton of research in the equestrian fitness space, and one thing I've noticed, whether that be scrolling through Instagram, looking at videos on YouTube, or just doing a Google search, people in this space are repeating a lot of the same information, and some of it is right, some of it is wrong. But I will just say that there's definitely some things that people are not talking about in the equestrian fitness space. And as a result, you as an equestrian are being shortchanged on trying to maximize your athletic potential as an equestrian. So it's time to talk about it. What are those things that people aren't talking about? Welcome to another episode of Strong in the Saddle. I'm your host, Katrina. And before we get started, if you could please subscribe, rate, and review the podcast. If you're watching on YouTube, and yes, this is on YouTube, youtube.com/@strongin the saddle, be sure to give this video a like, leave a comment below, and be sure to subscribe to my channel. And also be sure to follow me on Instagram @strongin the saddle. So, as I said off at the top, there are a lot of people in this equestrian fitness space that they're just repeating the same information over and over again. If you go to one person's Instagram page, they're saying this. You go to another person's Instagram page, it's kind of the same thing, except in their brand colors or whatever. It's just the same information being regurgitated over and over again. Some of the information is great. Don't get me wrong. There is people doing great work in this space. There's some information that's not so great, which we can get into in another video. But there's also like this chasm of things that fitness professionals in the equestrian world are not talking about. And I think that it's really to everyone's detriment because as equestrians, especially with so many of the disciplines in the equestrian world becoming so competitive, we need every edge we can get. And if we can maximize ourselves, maximize our bodies so that we are the best equestrian athletes that we can be, like, we need that, right? And so today I kind of just want to touch on some areas where there's a lack of information. The first topic that I see as not being discussed enough is talking about the core. I think like people talk about abs, but I really think they miss bridging the gap to the core, which the core is so much more because yes, it includes your abs, but also includes like your whole trunk. So it would be like your lower back, it would be your deep abdominal muscles, as well as into your hips, your hip flexors, and even like the top of your glute muscle as well. Like that entire area around your midsection is your core. And when people talk about abs, they're definitely leaving out this huge area of the body that is incredibly important as equestrians. So your core is, I really feel like if you do not have a strong core, everything else is going to fall apart. You could have really strong legs and a really strong upper body, but I feel like without the strong core, your appendages are kind of going to be all over the place. So it's really important. If you're going to focus on anything as an equestrian, I would say it's the core. And again, it is not just your abdominal muscles. We have to look at this entire, like this is a huge part of your body, right? It's so many muscles, so many moving parts that just training abs is not sufficient, especially when we're on like an 1,000-pound animal that is moving at a very high rate of speed. Like we need to have something going on here if we're going to be able to withstand all of the forces working on our bodies as riders. So I'm not going to get super, super detailed into how you should be training your core as an equestrian, because I definitely want to do, like, that's a video in and of itself. But I think my best piece of advice for you is to consider training your core in a variety of ways, using a variety of exercises. A lot of people don't think about this, but doing compound movements like squats and deadlifts, those exercises, they recruit your core to keep your trunk stable and to keep your spine safe. So definitely don't shy away from those big compound movements, because they help with your core 100%. And then also considering a variety of what we would consider ab work. Think about bringing your ribs and your hips together for that crunching movement. So that's one movement that we want to focus on. I think a lot of people do a lot of hip flexor work unintentionally, especially if they do Pilates, which, refer to my last video if you want my opinion on Pilates. But if you're, think about laying on your back, and then in Pilates, I know they do a lot of like leg lift and down. That is only working your hip flexor. It's not actually working your abs. Like, your, yes, your abs are keeping your body stable, but it's actually those hip flexors that are getting worked in that movement, because to work your abs, you need that crunching movement. So thinking about exercises like that, and then also considering exercises like the plank, which is definitely going to recruit a ton of muscles within your core. So trying to keep a wide variety in your core routine to be able to train all of the muscles within that portion of your body. Another thing that I don't think is discussed enough in the equestrian fitness space is dynamic flexibility and stretching. Anytime I see an equestrian fitness person talking about stretching, they are always doing static stretching, which I am not a fan. So just to explain, static stretching would be like, think about stretching out your hamstring. You're maybe sitting on the floor with your legs out in front of you, and then you try to reach your toes and you hold that pose. So you're still and you're just stretching the muscle in a held position. That is static stretching. And to be honest, if I was your personal trainer, I would advise you to not do much static stretching, especially like before a ride. I don't know how many people I see instructing people to do static stretches when their muscles are cold. That's a good way to stretch and strain a muscle and hurt yourself. Instead, you should be doing dynamic stretching. So that's where you are moving your body through a movement. You're like moving. So think about things like leg swings. Before an upper body workout, I do arm swings. So you're just moving through the full range of motion as far as your muscles will comfortably go. And especially if your muscles are cold, like before a ride, I would definitely recommend doing that. Now, as you might be wondering, like, well, does flexibility really matter as a rider? Like, we're pretty much in the same position the whole time. But 100% it does, because I think you need very flexible legs to move with your horse. I also think that having your joints moving through a full range of motion, especially your upper body, allows your body to sit in a proper position and have good posture on your horse. And even just like moving on your horse, being limber and stuff, is going to prevent you from getting any kind of strained or pulled muscle. The next thing that I think people aren't talking enough about in terms of equestrian fitness is upper body strength. And I talked about this in my Pilates video as well, that Pilates does not, in a lot of programs, they don't do any upper body work. And that definitely would be a detriment to an equestrian. Having a strong upper body, for one, allows you to have good posture in the saddle. But being strong in your upper body also allows you to have more control over your upper body. So that would be just like your position in relation to your horse, as well as how you're able to control your seat and your arms and ultimately your hands, and how you are using your reins, which directly impacts how you're cueing your horse. So having a very, very strong upper body, and that's everything. So shoulders, biceps, triceps, your back, and your, like, everything in your upper body, it all needs to be relatively strong as an equestrian to allow you to be very controlled, in good position, balanced, and stable within when you are riding your horse. Another gap is balance and stability. So obviously being very, very balanced and stable in the saddle is really important. And I think that comes from just training for those things. Again, I think people, they might focus a lot on leg training, but I don't think they don't really understand, okay, we have strength, but are we balanced? Like, I think you can be strong and not be a balanced individual. You're not a stable individual, and that's because you're not specifically training for it. This is where I think a lot of athletes really excel. So if you were previously an athlete and then come into the equestrian space, I think some of those people really excel because they have that balance and coordination and stability already baked in from whatever other sport they were doing before, which I will raise my hand and say that this is where I really struggled, because like I played basketball a little bit, but as a general rule, I was not an athletic child. And so I was kind of like behind the eight ball on this one in terms of being an agile athlete. And I think lots of people don't talk about that. They don't talk about training for that agility and balance and stability, which again, I think is really shortchanging you guys if you're wanting to optimize yourself in the saddle. And the last thing in regards to equestrian fitness that I think is not getting enough attention and is not being talked about enough is functional fitness. What functional fitness is basically training in a way that directly applies to real life. So in our situation, this would be training in a way that directly correlates to what we need to do in the saddle, or maybe even off the saddle when we're just working with our horses on the ground. There are some fitness professionals out there that will give a workout program that, and they don't really give any forethought into how the exercises and the workouts that are giving are going to translate to the saddle, which is definitely a detriment. You want to be doing exercises that will directly improve what you're doing in the saddle, because I would say otherwise you're just kind of wasting your time. And I don't know about you, but I am very time poor as it is, so I need to be maximizing my time when it comes to what I am doing for my workouts. And if I'm doing exercises that are not going to benefit me once I get to the barn, like, no thank you. So a functional kind of workout program for an equestrian would kind of touch on all of those things that we've kind of already discussed today. So one would be core strength and stability. Another would be your upper body strength. Another would be things like balance and stability, and being a dynamic athlete who can move their body through space very, very controlled. And of course, there's also lower body. So I didn't touch on lower body today because everyone in the equestrian fitness space talks about lower body and how you need to have strong legs. Okay, yes, that definitely needs to be part of your program, but it's definitely not the only thing. You need those other things of the core, the upper body, the stability, the dynamic movement, fluid movement, and flexibility. Those all need to be melded together into a cohesive program. And that is what is going to directly translate to you being a better athlete in the saddle. And then, of course, on top of all of that, the final piece of a functional fitness program would be on the endurance and cardiovascular side of things. So I know there's definitely been times in my life where I have neglected cardio. And if you're riding like a push style horse, it is very easy to get gassed and just not be able to continue, and just you need to stop your horse so you can catch your breath. Doing a cardiovascular type of program as well as your strength training, that is what is the functional fitness for an equestrian. And I know it sounds like a lot and you think, good grief, I'm going to be in the gym all the time, but actually that's not the case. I won't get into that here today because again, that's a whole episode in and of itself, but definitely just something to consider. I've definitely been a proponent of like a bodybuilding style workout in the past, and it's just kind of where I came from, was bodybuilding, but which I think I'm going to touch on this in another video, is how bodybuilding can actually make you less athletic. And that's because there isn't really a functional component to it. It's all aesthetic, which yes, we want to look good, but actually training functionally, like the aesthetic side of it comes as well. If you are a strong and healthy individual, like you're going to look good. So I would say really keeping that in your mind that we want to train functional. And that is it for this week's episode. So I hope I shed some light on maybe some things that you hadn't thought about before, especially if you're not like a fitness professional and just don't have that education. You just kind of take what people give you. And so if they're not covering all the bases, like you don't know what you don't know, I guess. So I hope this kind of maybe shed some light on some things that you had never considered before, and maybe gives you something to implement into your own program. If you guys enjoyed this episode, please be sure to subscribe, rate, and review the podcast. If you're watching on YouTube, please be sure to give me a thumbs up, comment below, and subscribe to my channel. And be sure to head over to Instagram and follow me there at Strong in the Saddle. And until next time, remember, it's always a good day to ride.